Praise the Lord. Very nice to be here and to share the Word of God with you. I am very glad to see the wall back there. Last time I was here, it wasn't there. It keeps the noise down a little bit. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are asking for your divine intervention this morning. We believe that we have gathered together as unto you. And it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, you are in the midst of them. And Father, we do invite you to be present, to minister to each and every one of our souls. I am so very much aware, Father, it is not the words that one speaks, but it is the life of God that is in the Word. And they minister to each and every one on the level of their maturity to bring them, as it were, to a place of repentance, a place of overcoming, of understanding and hearing the will and the mind of God. So we just present our minds. We present our emotions. And Father, we ask that you have preeminence over every aspect of our desires. Let my thoughts, Lord, be your thoughts. Let those things of my emotions be your emotions. And let the desire that rules or reigns in my heart be your desire. And I pray, Father, for the ears of the hearers, that you would anoint them not to hear the words, the language, the syllables, and all of the things that pertain to communication, but let them be quickened by the Spirit of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so very much conscious of God's desire to have a people that are not a people because they have to be His people. Not a people because that they need a God to do something for them. But a people who can not only be a people to God, but can be a friend. If you have your Bibles this morning, you might want to open them to Jeremiah 31. How many of you have Bibles? Praise the Lord. How many of you brought them this morning? Hallelujah. Well, if you didn't bring your Bibles this morning, shame on you. That is, if you have a Bible and you did not bring it, shame on you. And if you don't have a Bible, then you should ask God to give you a Bible. Because you know, God wants you to know, have His Word more than maybe you want to have His Word. If you are hungry and you need bread, you're going to find a way to get bread. No matter if the store is down the road a ways, your family needs bread. I suppose I should say, if your family needs rice, you're going to go and get rice. Huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's no different with the Word of God. God gave us His Word. And if I'm not mistaken, Brother Mark, aren't we doing something about that also, the Bible?
Yeah. There will be some new Bibles coming in the fall. They're in the process of being printed.
So the next time I come, Lord willing, whenever that might be, it will probably be after the fall anyway. And I ask you, how many of you have a Bible? Every one of you should be able to lift your Bible up in the air. Hallelujah. So it's very important that you know the history of this book. This book was not written with just a pen and ink and paper. This book was written with the pen of men and women and children. God took a man named Abraham. And he took him like a pen that you would take in your hand. And he took the life of the man and began to write concerning the relationship that Abraham had with God and God had with Abraham. And a great deal of that relationship and those things that were written by God with Abraham are recorded in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And one of the reasons why Abraham is so important to you and I, not only in the aspect the Bible calls him the father of faith, but because he demonstrated with Abraham, God demonstrated with Abraham what he wanted as far as the people are concerned. Hallelujah. Because Abraham just wasn't a servant of God. He wasn't just someone else that God had collected along the way to have to talk with. The testimony that we have of Abraham is not a testimony that we have received from man. The testimony we have of Abraham is a commendation that God gave to Abraham. Not by way of a messenger, not by way of someone saying, well, Abraham, God gave me this testimony concerning you. Not by a word of prophecy that God would come and prophesy over a person, but it was in a face-to-face encounter with God that Abraham heard the commendation of God to him. Hallelujah. And that commendation was that Abraham was a friend of God. Hallelujah. Now, it wasn't a casual friendship. It was a very intimate and close relationship. The relationship was so good and so close that God went to Abraham almost, it would seem, for counsel. Hallelujah. If you have not read the story about Abraham, when God came to visit him, hallelujah, he came with some of his angels. Find me the book it's in, please. And he came down to knock on Abraham's door. Tell me, Brother Rudy, when was the last time God knocked on your door? I mean physically. No, not yet.
Chapter 18 of Genesis.
Chapter 18 of Genesis.
Capítulo 18.
I suggest if you go home and you read the story. Because it's not just a story about God and Abraham. It's a story about God and His people. When I say it is a story of God and His people, I'm not talking about the people of the Old Testament. I'm talking about the people who are under the virtue of the New Covenant, Testament covenant that God made with Abraham. Hallelujah. You see, God, Abraham was not just a friend of God, but Abraham was a visionary. Hallelujah. You could not be a visionary and do what God asked him to do. Because in Genesis chapter 12, and in the first verse, you can write these verses down and go and check them out. Hallelujah. Don't take my word for it. I might not tell you the truth. You have to go to the Bible to find out if I'm quoting the Bible to you. Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. 12 is the number of government. So the chapter 12 deals with the government of God with man. He outlines for Abraham and for us what it is necessary that we have to do. Hallelujah. In order to have this relationship. Hallelujah. If you don't do what Abraham did, if you don't walk in Abraham's shoes, if you don't have the experiences that Abraham had, that developed within him the character and the ability to believe in the reality of a living God. Hallelujah. So Abraham was a visionary. And there must have been a lot going on with Abraham prior to Genesis chapter 12. But we don't know about it because God doesn't tell us about it right out. Hallelujah. But in order for Abraham to obey the commandment that came to him from God, he must have had some sort of relationship prior to Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. But the significance of chapter 12 is that Abraham had come to a position of maturity in his relationship with God. Hallelujah. That God could begin to use that relationship to demonstrate our spiritual reality. Hallelujah. Of man and God working together. Hallelujah. You thought it was just a story in the Bible. You thought it was just like a history lesson. Hallelujah. There is nothing historical about the Bible. If the Bible is the Word of God, Brother Rudy, it's not a history book. It's a living testament, a living reality, a picture that is being played out, not only in the past, but in the present, as well as in the future. Hallelujah. If you do not look at your Word of God as a living reality, as the substance of life and immortality, hallelujah, then you are not walking or talking with a living God. You are not sitting under the ministry of life. Hallelujah. You are sitting under the ministry of religion. Religion is a theological or a mental or an intellectual concept of the fact of what the Bible calls God. Hello? Hallelujah. And that theological and that intellectual concept will not give you what you need in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew 24 that there is coming a great tribulation upon the world. It's a tribulation that outdoes any tribulation that you or I have any knowledge of or have had an experience of going through. Hallelujah. And I believe it's in one of the book of Thessalonians that says that in the midst of this tribulation, there's going to be a great falling away. That means many people are going to desert their position of faith. That means they are going to renounce the aspect or the reality of God in their salvation. Why? Why? Why are they doing that, Brother Edmar? Hallelujah. Because we have not led them to the reality of a truth. I am going to be responsible for you, you understand? I may not be here when you are in tribulation, when you are in trouble. But if you do not respond correctly, if you move and you find yourself teetering on the brink of destruction, hallelujah, and you renounce your position of faith in God in order to live, in order to survive, and I have not taught you. Did you hear me? If I have not taught you, if I have not led you, if I have not brought you to a place where you have the capability in the time of that trouble to touch the hem of God's garment. Hallelujah. I am going to be held accountable. Your blood is going to be upon my hands. And I do not want to be guilty of your blood. So I have to do what I need to do in order to give you the reality of the responsibility of the knowledge I have as far as God and His people are concerned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, there is something about in all of this that is very providential. If I come and I begin to teach you how to touch the hem of God's garment, if I teach you the reality of the ministry of God in you and you in God, it may very well be at the end of the day the reality that you have is greater than my reality. And because of that, you may be the instrument of my salvation. Do you ever think about that? Hallelujah. Could be the very people, the young people you are training, the young people you are teaching, the people you are responsible for, brother. Could be those people who come and progress and grow in a maturity and a fashion well beyond the place that you are in. Hallelujah. And in the time of your trouble, they become an instrument of salvation to succor, to save, and to nurture you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's very important that we get the message. We get the message of the individual position of responsibility that every individual has concerning a relationship with a living God. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 31, hallelujah, God says through the prophet. Now this is a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word. What that means is it's a living word. It's a word that was addressing a situation at the time it was spoken. And it was also addressing a time of which was to come. Because the prophet was not prophesying over natural Israel. Hallelujah. But the prophet was prophesying over a spiritual Israel. Hallelujah. And if you will go into Romans, I believe it's in chapter 9 or chapter 10, I'm not sure which. And it talks about the olive tree. And that some of the branches were cut off. Hallelujah. But it says that we, being a wild olive branch, were grafted into that tree. Hallelujah. So the prophetic word that Isaiah was prophesying to the household of Israel, hallelujah, was a word principally designed to address the issue of that spiritual house. Hallelujah. And it is significant. It is significant that God singled out not only Israel, but He singled out the tribe of Judah. What He was saying is that there is a baton of authority. Hallelujah. That God had given to Israel by virtue of the calling and election that was upon Abraham. Hello? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Because God made a covenant with Israel. And the covenant that He made was that He would be the father of many nations. Hallelujah. Not only physical nations, but He would be the father of a spiritual nation. Hallelujah. Because it was the progeny that came out of the lines of Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was significant to the house of Israel in the natural as well as Israel in the spiritual. Hallelujah. So He says here in verse 31, behold, the day come, the days, plural, come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Tanawa ang mga adlaw muabot magaingon ang Ginoo nga ako magahimong usa ka bagong pagkigsabot uban sa balay sa Israel.
And He said, not as a covenant that I made with their fathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt.
Dili lamang ang kini siya nga pagkigsad ngadto sa ila kong mga mahal nga gidala na ako sa gikan.
Hallelujah. Which covenant they broke?
Unsa man ang pagkigsad?
Although I was a husband unto them. Hallelujah. You see, God wanted us to understand the intimacy of the relationship. There is nothing more intimate, there is nothing more personal than a marriage relationship. And there are rules and regulations, may I use that word, that govern that relationship. Not from a carnal position of understanding, not from a position in our place of intellectual or human understanding. Hallelujah. But from a perspective of which God has concerning it. The same of which is lined out and described in Ephesians and in some of the other epistles of Paul that he wrote to the New Testament church. Hallelujah. So this concept or this thought that God wants to have a personal, living, valuable, working, walking, talking relationship with humanity is not something that is new. It is not something that is Old Testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not something that is just pertinent to the New Testament. Because that concept of intimacy was there in the beginning with God and with Abraham. Hallelujah. And if you want to go back even further, you can go back into the book of Genesis and you look at chapter 1 and you look at chapter 2 and you find a God who is very interested not in the aspect of what it is that He is creating. Hallelujah. But He's more interested in the fact of what He is creating as to what He is creating it for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We look at our environment, and our environment is so predominant and so imminent in our mind that we seem to be subjected to our environment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that was not in God's mind in the beginning, brethren. That is not what God had in His thoughts when He created the thing that He created. Hallelujah. You go, I believe it is in Revelation somewhere. Hallelujah. That we go into, we can see that all things were created, what? For His pleasure. Hallelujah. You might find that verse for me. Hallelujah. It says all things were created by Him and for Him, and they were created for His pleasure. Hallelujah. Revelation 4:11. Hallelujah. Let us, I want to read that, just this, read that verse. Revelation 4:11. And it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That verse is very specific. It says that they were created. They are created not just in the our sense, but in the aspect of how they were created in the past. Hallelujah. That little word, were created. Does your Bible make the inferences as to the past in that they were created?
Something, if you chase. Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, in the beginning, and in the beginning, the thought, the reality in God's thought, in God's mind, was the same as it is demonstrated and written in Revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a particular purpose that God had in mind. Hallelujah. And that purpose was that man would be in a position or a place of supreme authority. Hallelujah. Supreme authority over his environment, over the things that walked and lived in that environment, and not only in that respect, but over the aspect of his own soul. Hallelujah. There was a position, a place of authority that God prophesied to the man in the woman in the very beginning. Hallelujah. When you go to Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, Hallelujah. It says that God had a council in heaven. Hallelujah. Can you imagine God having a council with himself in heaven? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you believe in the Trinity of God, the three aspects of God that are working in the arena of God, and as well as in the arena of man. Hallelujah. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And these three entities of God came together in a council. It's very significant in that the Bible makes a particular and peculiar reference to it. Hallelujah. And what it reveals is that God's intent and involvement in the thing that he was doing, that he would be working with man in the aspect of that creation of him and the future development of him, and bringing that thought to a place of maturity at the end of time. Hallelujah. You guys need to get a flip chart or something. Hallelujah. So we can draw on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The thing that God did with man in the aspect of the environment that he created, that environment was designed to facilitate man to come to a place of fullness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God is eternal, brethren. God doesn't need time. Did you ever think about it? God is eternal. God doesn't need time. And there was only one reason why God created time. And that reason was for the development of the thought that was in his mind in Genesis 1:26. Hallelujah. So he made all of the environment that you are in. Hallelujah. He made it for one reason. Hallelujah. That environment would facilitate you to come to a place of overcoming that environment and bringing it, as it were, into a place of subjection to your authority. Hallelujah. 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 Now, you know, you might look at things. Now, let me go back. I want to talk about this council in heaven. When in verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up, our English Bible says, and God said. Hallelujah. I don't know what your Bible says. Hallelujah. But I know what the Hebrew says. And every time that word God comes up in my Bible in that chapter, the Hebrew word that is being translated God is Elohim. Hallelujah. Elohim is the plurality of God. It would be like I would use the word English word we, but without using the English word we. Hallelujah. You know, my wife sometimes says to me, you always use the I pronoun. I said, when I use the I pronoun, I'm talking about both of us. Hallelujah. How can I use the I pronoun with, meaning only me when I have both of us working and into the in a capacity to produce the same thing? Hallelujah. So it's a little, it's somewhat like that in the aspect of God. So when the Bible says God, it uses the word Elohim, which is the plurality of God. And if you were to translate it, it would be translated as God's plural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God changes that definition just a bit in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. He does not use the word Elohim. He uses a word that is translated "let us." Hallelujah. So that you and I can understand or comprehend the complexity of God. And it was almost as if God at that point divided himself into three segments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he was saying, let us make an agreement. Let us come into unity and thought and purpose. And let us designate certain positions of responsibility. Hallelujah. That we have in order to bring forth the revelation and the manifestation of this thing that we want to create. Hallelujah. So we can look at God as the overall authority and make him in some respects as the person who creates the thought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can look at the aspect of the man to become the reality of that thought. Hello. Hallelujah. So the man are the thought of the of God the Son is a theological concept. Hallelujah. It is a thought that is religious in its interpretation as far as the church is concerned. But that theological concept, that religious thought became a reality. Hallelujah. 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 When the angel Gabriel came bearing a word to a woman called Mary. Hallelujah. So it was the word of God now. Hallelujah. And we are told in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ was the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when that angel brought that Mary, that word to Mary, incorporated and enclosed in that word was a seed. Hallelujah. And that seed was God. So as Mary heard the word, the first thing the word did was to cut through all of her human carnal thinking. Hallelujah. And strike within Mary a chord of response. Hallelujah. Because you see, Mary was like one of us. How can this thing be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And come on. And I tell you, you can be perfect.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, you can be without spot and blemish. You're going to say, how can this thing be? Hallelujah. If you're honest. I am American. I am not born of God. I'm born of flesh.
flesh. I'm born in a certain family. I have certain propensities of my mother and of my father. I have by virtue of inheritance received spiritual domination by certain spirits. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can I be perfect? How can I achieve an objective? It's like Mary. I'm human. I know not a man. Hallelujah. How can this thing be? How can I receive a seed and produce something physical? Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the angel began to minister the word of God. It was not the angel. Do you hear me? The angel was nothing more than carrying a message. Hallelujah. It was the life of God that was in the message. Hallelujah. And as that angel began to minister to her, it began to penetrate and to pierce into the darkness of her unbelief and her humanity. Until she came to a point that she said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren. Hallelujah. We have a word. We have a word. Hallelujah. That is not just another word. The word we have has the totality of God inside of it. Hallelujah. Because unless you believe that God can change his mind, and that God is not God and he cannot do what he wants to do, you have to believe that God is going to do what he said he was going to do in the beginning. Yes. Hallelujah. And when this council of God came together, it came together, they said, let God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, let us make man. Hallelujah. And let him make us in our image. Let us be in our likeness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not created like the beast. You are not created like the fish. Evolutionists want you to believe that you came out of a blob of nothing. Hallelujah. And you evolved into something through a process of different species to different species to different species to different species until you became human. Hallelujah. If you believe that, you do not know your Bible. And if you know your Bible, you do not believe it. Because the Bible is very specific. Everywhere that God created something, when he created the birds in the air, he said, let everything come forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. When he created the fish in the sea, he said, let everything come forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. When he created the beast of the field, he said, let everything come forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. When he created the bushes and the trees and the weeds and the grass, hallelujah, he said, let everything come forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. So how can a man man be a monkey? How can a man be a dog? Huh? How can a man be anything but what it is God created that man to be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Do you see your God as a fish? Do you see your God as a beast? Huh? Oh yes, man worships the fish. He worships the beast. He worships the creation. Hallelujah. Because he does not know the reality or the substance or for the reason for which God created him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, we have to have the sense. We have to have the ability to perceive that what which we have in us is so totally beyond us. Listen. Hallelujah. And we must do everything we can to produce and allow it to have its position of preeminence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you cannot do that by just going to church. You cannot have that by just paying your little bitty tithe. Hallelujah. You cannot do that. Hallelujah. By just living as a Filipino. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. 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 Do you know that you are under the nationality of rebellion? As a people, no matter what tribe you come from, and you can't even agree in tribal situations. There's no unity. When a man comes into government, he brings all of his tribe into places of authority. Not only his tribe, but his family. Hallelujah. 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 We are born under the stigma of rebellion. Man decided to step in and play God. After the flood, they began to build this tower. And, you know, it's not something just in a natural thing that they were building. Because it says, he said, God said in amongst himself, he said, let us. Can you imagine the triunity of God walking through the earth? Hallelujah. He says, let us go down and let us examine this thing that they are doing. And he said, you know what? We have to do something. Because he said, we have to do something least they accomplish what they have set their mind upon. Because they are a people of one speech. And so the Filipino different dialects was created. The German was created. The Portuguese was created. Hallelujah. The Spaniards were created. The Filipino and the Americans, they were all created. Hello! Under the auspice of a language. They would go around looking for someone who talked their language. Hallelujah. And when they found them, they joined. And the nations were created. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever wondered why it is that when you get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, God starts talking to you about being baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Huh?
Hallelujah. Have you you ever wondered about it? Why do we speak in other tongues? Huh? Why? Because it says of that language, it is a heavenly language. It is a heavenly tongue. Do you know I can go anywhere in the world and go into a spirit-filled congregation, and a person will get up and start speaking in tongues, a word in tongues. You know, I have the ability to understand what they're saying. I hear it. Hello? I hear it in this ear, and I hear the interpretation in this ear. Hello? Hallelujah. I don't care if it's Filipino. I don't care if it's Chinese. I don't care if it's Russian. I don't care if it's something other language that I don't know. Hallelujah. Why? Because I have been born into a realm of heaven, and there is a means of communication that I have that I can interpret by reason of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So God gives you a familiarity by which you can communicate with like kind. Hallelujah. You know, I can go to a evangelical association or a meeting, and I can fellowship in that environment, but there is not the closeness or the intimacy that I have with those of like mind. Hallelujah. Hello. Hallelujah. 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 So there is a position, there's a place of rebellion that I, as an individual, out of my position of familiarity under the environment in which I was born, that I must come to break forth out of that shell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so it was with Abraham. Hallelujah. Abraham had come to a position. He had come to a place of maturity. That it was time for God to bring him a more definitive and clear word. He said he came to Abraham one day, and he said, Abraham. Abraham said, yes, Lord. He said, get me up. Get out of thy country. Get out of thy kindred. Get out of thy father's house. Hallelujah. What if God brought you that word? Get out of your nationalities. Get out of your tribal affiliation. Get out of the house of your fathers. Hello. Hallelujah. Hello, can you hear me listening to what I'm saying? Hallelujah. The word to Abraham was a word to the church who are hearing the word of sonship. Hallelujah. It is a word that is ministered by the prophet Isaiah. Hallelujah. Turn with me back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Turn back to Jeremiah 31. I want to turn to verse 33. He says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. No, I want to go up. I want to go up. I want to show you verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Tanawa ang mga adlaw muabot magingon ang Ginoong ako maghimo usa ka bag-ong pakigsabot uban sa balay sa Israel ug uban sa balay sa Juda.
It is very specific.
Usagi klaro kay ni siya.
There are 12 tribes in the nationality of Israel.
Adunay
12 tribes.
Ang nasod sa Israel.
So when God says Israel, he's talking about 12 tribes. But he did not leave it in that context. He says, this is the word that I will make with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Hallelujah. And that's where you and I have our entrance into the thought and the idea of God and the covenant that he was making at that particular time. Because we know that the scepter of righteousness, the scepter of ruling and reigning, was passed from the Levitical priesthood, hallelujah, to the Judean priesthood, hallelujah, hallelujah. And God made the switch in the aspect of when he sent Samuel, the prophet, to the house of Jesse. Hallelujah. And he picked a man called David, who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. He made the transition from a legislative, legalistic system that had the oversight of prophetical judges that moved by virtue of a law that was written on a piece of parchment to become an internal thing that was motivated by a heart of a man to desire God. Do you hear it? Hallelujah. He did not just pass the crown or the rulership of Israel. He passed the baton of the authority that God gave to Adam in the very beginning. Hallelujah. What was that authority? Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 27 or 28, I believe. Hallelujah. No, verse 26. Let's read it. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, yes, over the fowl of the air,
amen,
over the cattle, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Hallelujah. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, oh, created he them. Hallelujah.
Itura ug itugot kanila ang pagdumala labaw sa isda ug sa dagat ug sa labaw sa langgam ug sa kangin. kalainan, ug labaw sa dagkong mananap, ug labaw sa tibuok kalibutan.
So there was
sa matag managamhanang butang nga nagakamang ibabaw sa yuta. Busa ang Dios mimugna sa tao. Diha siya ang kaugalingon nga dagway. Diha sa dagway sa Dios gimugna niya siya lalaki babae.
Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There was an authority, there was a position of dominion that was given to Adam in the very beginning. When man fell, hallelujah, man lost that position of authority by reason of conquest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in the aspect or the action that was precipitated by the word of God through Samuel to David, God began to bring the reality of that endowment back to a position of manifestation and reality in a natural play. Listen to me. David was a man of war. David fought the lion.
Si David yang patay ang leon, gibuntog niya
niya. He overcame the lion.
Iyang nadaog ang leon.
The Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David overcame the bear.
Si David iyang nabuntog ang uso.
The bear is indicative of carnality and an emotional position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That has a ravenous appetite. Hallelujah. David overcame Goliath. Hallelujah. It was the giant, the spirit of darkness that had all of Israel quaking in their boots. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that it is through the fear of death that we are subjected to this realm of our rule of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But David overcame that fear. Hallelujah. And David went on from that place to begin to war against every nation that had up to that time been warring and bringing Israel into a place of subjection. Yes! Hallelujah. Don't you understand the spiritual significance of it? God had to reestablish that position of authority in a natural sense. Hallelujah. He had to bring the enemies of Israel to their knees to be bowing at the throne of David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there was something else that was very peculiar about David. He was not a Levite. The Levites were only up until David the only one that could go into the presence of God and the ark. And they could only go at one appointed time. And they could not go in before that appointed time. Hallelujah. And there was a procedure. There was a process that they had to go through in order to get there in that place. It was not so with David. He had a tent. And he called it Shiloh. And didn't he call it Shiloh? Hallelujah. Well, he had a tent. I know the Bible calls it the Tabernacle of David. God said that in the last days, He is going to restore the Tabernacle of David. Find me the verse, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So David David was a type. David was a shadow. David was the illustration in a natural. He was a prelude to the coming of Jesus Christ. Because out of the lineage of David, of the house of Judah, came a woman called Mary. Hallelujah. She was of the lineage of David. Hallelujah. Check it out. Go into your Bible. Verify it. And it says that we come forth out of the bowels of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
15.
Acts
chapter 15.
Acts chapter 15.
Buhat kapitulo 15.
Verse 16. Hallelujah. It says, I will restore the tabernacle of David. Huh? I will build again. Yes, give it to me. Hallelujah. As it is written. Let me go in verse. And to this agree the words of the prophets. So it's in the Old Testament too.
Yes, it is.
As it is written, after this I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all of these things.
Kumanini ako mubalik ug mutukod pag-usab sa tabernakulo ni David nga matumpag ug ako mutukod pag-usab sa mga guba nini ug ako mupatindog nini aron nga mabilin sa mga tao mangita unta sa Dios ug ang tanan nga hintil nana sa kang kinsa nga akong ngalan gitawag. Makaingon ang Ginoo kinsa kanimo niining tanan nga mga butang na hibalo ang Dios sa tanang niyang mga buhat gikan sa sinugdan sa kalibutan. Tungod niini ang akong hukom mao nga kita dili magasamo kanila nga gikan diha sa mga intil midango sa Dios.
And this is the word that we are bringing to you.
Mao kini ang mga pulungan nga gipabot diha kanimo.
Hallelujah. There is a calling. And there is an election. If you are here, you are hearing this word. There is a calling. There is an election that is upon your life. But you must respond. You must begin to obey the word of God concerning who and what you are. Not in the natural sense, but in the spiritual sense that is supposed to be manifested in the environment in which you live. God bless you.